This is a great church. I love this church. Do you like this church? Oh, it's a good church. And I often try to imagine back when church started. At the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and then 3,000 people are gathering together, and then it says they start to meet in homes. And what did they do? They just loved being together. And we talked a little bit about that in the message. But they just loved being together. And they would read scripture, and the apostles would teach, and they would sing, and whatever they would do. And Paul told Timothy to read scripture, to teach, and to encourage. And this morning I want to read, and then I'm going to teach, and then I have a good word of encouragement at the end. So in 1 Thessalonians, as I come to the end of it, I just want to read a part of it towards the end, and then we'll get into the last few verses. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage, say encourage. So encourage each other and build. Say build.
Build
each other up, just as you are already doing. Dear brothers and sisters, note that term. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, say brothers and sisters. We urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Tender care for those who are weak. Or take care. Take tender care for those who are weak. Be patient with each other, with everyone. Do we need patience every once in a while?
Nah.
We're good, right? Good morning for us sometimes. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. That's a good warning. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a sacred kiss. I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. One of the challenges that many athletes, for instance, one of the challenges that many athletes, professional or hoping to be professional athletes, while waiting to be drafted or picked for a sports team, are wondering if they are enough. They're just starting to pull together the World Junior Canadian team to be playing in December, and they're already talking. I've already seen a headline. They're already starting to pick. I can't imagine the pressure on the juniors, like almost more than some of the NHL players get. We got our win for Canada, the expectation, and they're all sitting there in their own hearts. Do I have enough? Can I actually match what everybody is expecting? Those in the NHL, like the pressure on some of the top players. Do I have enough to run for the cup this year? when I was in high school, do I have enough to make it for the volleyball team? Do I have enough to make it for the tennis team that I was a part of? Do I have enough to get into school, do I have enough to finish this assignment? Can I do that paper? Can I do whatever? Those of us go to work, and are we enough at work? So I'm driving forklift, one of my jobs at Roma, and I'm having fun with it. I used to drive a forklift 40 years ago. And there's one scene that comes to me all the time. When I was working at Beaver Lumber, I was bringing a lift of lumber, probably 14, 16 foot 2x4s, and I was coming up, and my boss was just there, happened to be out of his office watching me, and I come around and I knock over a pile of 2x4s that were probably only like 3 or 4 feet, and I knock over the pile, and I look over at my boss, Bill, and he looks at me, and then he walks away. That memory is there. So every time I'm driving, not every time, but many times when I'm getting into a tight spot and I'm carrying on the forklift 16 foot or 20 foot, like I'm going, where am I? Am I good enough? I think every one of us wonders if we're good enough for anything that we do. Are we good enough? And then one of the questions I ask people when I go out for breakfast, there's no pressure. If I go out for breakfast with you, there's no pressure, okay? But I invariably ask, so how's your quiet time with God? What does it look like for you to read your Bible and pray and all that kind of stuff? And invariably, the answer is, well, I know it should be better. Well, that's not what I asked you. But see, that's that right away, and it gives way to our deepest thoughts. Are we good enough for God? Are we good enough for God? Are we good enough for others? Are we good enough? Now, hold that thought. I'm going to come back to it at the end, but I want you to hold that thought. Don't let it beat you up, because I got a good word for you at the end. But hold that thought. Now, the scriptures, the Old Testament and New Testament, are scriptures. Notice this, were written to us. No, sorry, were not written to us. They were written for us. 1 Thessalonians was written to a group of people around 50, 60 AD in a town, Thessalonica. Say Thessalonica. How many of you struggle to say that? I sometimes struggle to say that word. So Paul was writing to a group of people. It's for them. But like all the apostles who wrote in the New Testament, they looked ahead. The Holy Spirit helped them to look ahead to us meeting here this morning. So the scriptures are not written to us, but they were written for us. That's why we can take a book that's 2,000 years old or 4,000 years old, if you go back far enough into the Old Testament, that it's relevant for us today. And he does it, he encapsulates a whole bunch of main thoughts. I think if 1 Thessalonians was the only New Testament book that we had, we would be able to live well by just following this book. I've really enjoyed going through this particular book. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in one of his letters, he says, all scripture, all, can you say all? All, every word, all scripture is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. I like that song one of the actions is you breathe in God or breathe God. That he breathes his breath. His breath is what created the world. And his breath of his word into our lives is huge. It is the priority of all the writings for the Christ follower and for the church. God's word is for us to get to know God and know how to live for him. And I keep thinking of this one time I was meeting with a guy trying to help him and his wife, and he wasn't getting it. She was in tears, and I'm trying to help him because he really needed a relationship with God. He really needed to be reading the Bible. He needed to be growing. That's why he wasn't doing well with his wife. I said, do you have a quiet time? Why, well, listen to podcasts. I said, that's not what I asked you. And I pushed my Bible across to him and I said, this is the inspired word of God, not a podcast. Do you understand that? Yeah. I said, so your homework for the next 2 weeks that we meet is to open up your Bible. You have a Bible at home? Yes, I do. Find it somewhere and open it up. So we met in 2 weeks. So, how's your quiet time? Good. I said, what'd you read? Well, I listen to podcasts. I said, that's not what I asked you to do. And through the conversation, I eventually said to him, I said, when you're actually ready to deal with stuff in your life and grow in God, I can't help you. I can't help you. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to help you in a relationship with God. And you're not going there because a relationship with God will help you to be a better husband that your wife needs and deserves. I never saw him again. Like, you just didn't get it. This is the inspired word of God. And it is what helps us get to know God and how to live for him. It's knowing and doing. We need both in all relationships and partnerships. If you don't know the other person, you will have no idea what works, how to work for them, or how to help them, or how to care for them, or even how to love them. As we get to know God, we then learn how to love him. And that's how we do it here. Now, the Apostle Paul signs off on his letter to the church that he really cared about this church. And it reminds us how God is always working in us. He's always, always working in us. And he tells us how we are to care for each other. So if we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Okay, that's a tall order. Okay, now I'm going to help you with this. That's a tall order. May the God of peace make you holy. Are you holy right now? Have you been holy this week? You can all shake your head and go, no, we weren't. In Jesus, we're holy. But we sometimes don't act that way. So he's going to show us how it helped, how to help us. So he says, I want you to be holy in every way and make your whole spirit, say spirit, soul, say soul, and body, to be kept blameless until your Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Most of us want to be better. Most of us want to grow. Most of us want to be holy and blameless. We want to be better, right? That's one of the reasons why we come. We want to be better. And then God says, through the scriptures, God will make this happen. God will make it happen. For he who calls you is faithful. So who does the work? Do we do the work? Yes. But I love the statement. This is the encouragement. God will make this happen. He who calls you is faithful. Philippians 1:6. One of my favorite verses, one of my theme verses. The Apostle Paul writes to another church in Philippi. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Another verse, the same verse, the same theme. God is working in you and me. He's working. And our responsibility is to partner with Him, to walk with Him, so He can do that work. It's an us relationship. It's just not Him doing the work, and it's not just us striving and struggling to do the work of growing. It's together a partnership. So God is faithful, and He who calls you is faithful, is trustworthy. So then now He moves on, and He says, I also use relationships to help you. That's why we need the church. That's why a person who doesn't go to church, that doesn't meet with other Christians, is not going to grow very well. We need the church. We need each other. That's what the whole New Testament is about. You need to be together. He goes on, dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. And then He says something. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a sacred kiss. Did you do that this morning? Noah, I know, you're just disappointed in yourself, aren't you? Greet all the brothers and sisters with a sacred kiss, with a holy kiss. Okay, I'm going to teach you how to do that. Now you're getting nervous. I don't know about this pastor. We think we can trust him. See, this is where, when you take the scriptures as written for them, or to them, gotta get this right. This verse was written to them in Thessalonica. It is written for us in 2025. What does that mean? So what you do in interpretation of scriptures is what you have to do is, whoops, I just both fell off here. What you have to do is you have to figure out, what did it mean back here? So at that time, and if you're familiar with Middle Eastern, even today, there is a lot of cheek-to-cheek kissing that goes on. That greeting, that's what they did. In the synagogues, way back then, that's what it was. It was a peck on the cheek. And most of the time, it would have been men to men and women to women. But it could have been because it was a holy kiss. It was a very common greeting back then. But we don't do that primarily in Caucasian or North American areas. We don't necessarily do that. What do we do today to greet one another? A handshake. What else? A what? A hug. A side hug. Appropriately. I do that with a number of the ladies here. I'll do a side hug. Or I remember one lady a number of years ago said, an A-frame hug. If I'm hugging another woman, it's an A-frame hug, which is appropriate. Okay? There, for some of us as guys, we shake hands and then we hug while we're holding hands. Okay? There's the high fives. Anything else? A smile. Yes, a smile is huge, huge thing. Now, here's the disclaimer. He doesn't just say greet each other with a kiss or a hug or a handshake. He says holy. A holy kiss. And what he's saying, and I got you to repeat the words brothers and sisters, 13 times in 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul says brothers and sisters. We are a family. That's what a church is. We don't just go to church. We go to be with our church. We're a family. And when we get together, I love it, every seven days, we're back here again. But that's what he wants. He wants us to care for each other, to love one another, to encourage each other in a holy way. As to how we encourage each other, how we treat each other, how we honor each other, how we encourage each other. Although one another's written out through the epistles in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes, that holy of that relationship. If you go back into the Gospels, there is one kiss that was not holy. Do you remember what that was? What is it? Judas' kiss. I'm thinking back to the 80s. You can listen to Petra, and they had a song called Judas' Kiss. That was a deceptive, betrayal kiss. How are you going to know who he tells? Judas tells the people, how are you going to know? I'm going, the one I kiss, it would have been a Middle Eastern, probably cheek to cheek. The one I kiss. I think, why? Why a kiss? Why didn't he just leave these people and go, that's the man right there, sitting in the back couch there, with the glasses on. Okay? That's him. Why didn't he just point? Why did he have to do the kiss? Which is meant to be appropriate and loving and an extent. Why? I don't know. I kind of wonder, this is free, this isn't part of the notes. I wonder if somehow there was something in Judas going, oh, this isn't feeling right. I don't like what's going on here. And I wonder if it would have been a type of, I'm really sorry I have to do this, Jesus. I wonder if there was some deep, deep guilt. Because, and he said later on, I betrayed an innocent man. The lesson in this one, as we talk about one another, is that when we shake hands or we do the hug or the high fives, that we can actually look at each other with care, with attention, with respect, with love. That we can actually look at each other and go, I really care about you. You're a part of my church. Or if they're somebody outside the church, they're a part of the greater church. Or they're a person that doesn't yet know Jesus, and I'm going to love you so that you can see Jesus' love in me. That's what he's talking about. God does the work, but the work is also happens within us. And then we say, we come back to that very same verse, God is faithful. God is faithful. He is trustworthy. He will make it happen. And he does it among us. He does it among us. Now, there's one more point. This is a huge encouragement. The very last phrase of 1 Thessalonians. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He didn't just, that's a nice little line, I'll just sign off. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Because I need grace. Because you need grace. There's a favorite song of mine. Every Sunday, I listen to a couple of songs just in my quiet time. That's just my pattern on Sunday morning when I'm preparing for this morning and all of that. There's a couple of songs. One of them is I'll read some words for it, but there's one song by Hillsong United called, I think it's called Have Mercy on Me, or it's Lord Have Mercy, Have Mercy on Me. What a phrase. Lord Have Mercy on Me. where the Apostle Paul says, there is grace. You know what else it says? You are enough. No matter what we think, so what we can offer, how many mistakes we may make, how many piles of lumber I may drop over, knock over, whether I feel enough, with Jesus I'm enough because His grace covers me and encourages me. My favorite song since the late 80s by DeGarmo and Key is a song called I'm Accepted. And one of the verses says, never set a record in sports agility. No, I never did. Never was magnetic in personality. No. But that don't really matter. I'll do the best I can, because there's a God above me who loves me like I am. And the main line, I'm accepted. I'm accepted by the one who matters most. If you think you're a loser, when you fail, it seems, that everything you do, just remember, there's a Savior, and you are worth enough. He gave His life for you. I'm accepted. You are accepted by the one who matters most. I think that might be my next tattoo this summer. To look at it every day. I'm accepted. We are accepted by the one who matters most. And as the Apostle Paul writes his whole letter, he's going, Church, you are accepted. I love you, church, he says. I love you, church, I say. And Jesus says, I love you, church. I died for you. You matter. You are enough. You are accepted. So let's stand. And worship team, if you want to make your way up here again. Let's stand. Let's close our eyes. Whether that means to help you to put your hands in front of you, whether that's to put a hand up or open, whatever that would be, just close your eyes and whatever you'd like to do with your hands or put it up or whatever. Just say with me, Jesus, you love me. And your word tells me you love me. In our own way, we can say, I'm accepted by the one who matters most. And in the name of Jesus, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ